Welcome to the Mission MilSpouse podcast, dedicated to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of military spouses around the world. Join us as we dive into the unique experiences, challenges, and resilience of those who serve on the home front. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and connected. From deployments to PCS moves, we've got your six. So buckle up, grab your coffee, and let's tackle this mission together. This is Mission MilSpouse.
Welcome to the Mission MilSpouse podcast. I'm Kathleen Palmer, your host for today, and I'm beyond excited to bring you this episode as we get to know Mrs. Holly Vega. Holly is a Marine Corps spouse, and she has been married to her Marine for 24 years. In 2020, she officially co-founded a nonprofit organization, Military Hearts Matter, MHM. Together with a board, volunteers, and ambassadors of military spouses and veterans, the organization is paving the way to fully support the Military Heart community. On her list of accomplishments is being named the 2019 Military Spouse of the Year. And in 2022, Holly was also awarded the South Carolina Mother of the Year Award. Welcome, Holly, to the Mission MilSpouse podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited to be here on this beautiful Friday.
Yes, it is Friday.
And I'm wearing my red. I hope you're wearing your red.
Yes, I got it. Red. Well, actually, I'm wearing my freedom shirt. It's not red, but I always try to do that. And I'm glad you brought that to my attention. Okay, so we're going to start like how I always start. I love to find out the stories of how you met your service member. So let's start with how you met your Marine, Holly, and tell us a little about that.
I was out in San Diego going to school, and at this time, this is when they used to do the Westpac, and we'd go over to like Iwakuni for 6 months, and my really girlfriend, Sheree Irwin, her husband had left, and she was just, you know, distraught, and I became her wing girl, and would go on a buddy pass on the base and work out. This is when we used to do the grapevine and all those cool exercise classes, and I met my Marine at the gym. And at that time, I thought he was Italian. So, you know, everybody kind of who's close to us know this story. He was prior enlisted, so he was a lot more bulkier and had this jet black hair. But then he started speaking to me. I'm like, well, that is definitely not Italian. and no, my husband is Puerto Rican. And that's what I wrote from that moment on. We've been together ever since.
From doing the grapevine. That's amazing. The
grapevine, the workout link, he comes into class and I'm like, why is he in this class? Because a bunch of girls. And then he followed me along whenever I went to go do the butterfly, because, you know, a better top part of myself. And so he followed me there. And then he ended up following me out to the car parking lot to, you know, say, hey, girl, and whistled. My husband told this story just recently at his retirement, how he met. And the Marines, the junior Marines loved it. So they're saying, hey, girl, whistling around. Does that work? And I'm like, it worked for me.
It was a different time frame back then.
Very different time frame. Yes.
Yeah, he's a smart Marine going to the aerobics classes. That's pretty smart.
There you go. Yeah, the story behind it was that he was trying to work up the courage that he had been following me for like a couple of months. He would go work out in the morning because that's what he was supposed to do. And then he would come in the evening because he knew I was at the gym. And he finally had enough courage to come and talk to me. So
see, you just gave millions of single spouses or single spouses, single women a reason to go work out because, you know, you still can meet people at the gym. It happens. It's not a myth.
You can meet people at the gym. Yeah.
Well, so obviously that started what was a very long career for him and also for you. And so what I love about military spouses is we find our ways to give back and to do things. And so you started this nonprofit, Military Hearts Matter. So can you tell our listeners a little about how that started and what you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, in between that time and that was in 1998 when we met. Then you kind of fast forward to 2012, and we've already had children and have been married, you know, quite a while in the military. And we were stationed in 29 Bahamas. Of course, we're in Marine Corps, so anybody who's in Marine Corps would understand this. One of the most deployable base. It's also where we do a lot of our training, preparing for the desert training, right, for war, for tactics. And so it's a very stressful base. And that's why I mentioned that. A lot of things happen, casualties and other incidents. Yeah. But I am from South Carolina, if you can't tell by this lovely accent already. People try to say Louisiana, is it Texas? No, I'm from South Carolina. I'm from upstate. We talk a little different than that, but I can do my darlings and slow talk if you need to. And when I was out there, my mother called me and to let me know that they were medevacing my oldest brother to Charlotte. Oh, and wow. At this time, this is when we didn't have, you know, it was Blackberries and we still had rotary phones. And so she was calling me, she hung up and then she started calling the family. And I'm on my Blackberry trying to get back in touch with her because I didn't have a rotary phone in my house to be able to do. My husband was deployed. So I didn't have no one else trying to like call at the same time, trying to find out from the other family members, everybody called what was going on. Come to find out, my brother had a heart attack. And no, he's not unfit. And no, he was not old. All the things that people, you know, associate with when someone says they had a heart attack, oh, they must be old or they've got to be very unfit. No, my brother was about to get into his 40s. So he was rather young. He was doing construction. So he was very, very fit. There was other contributing factors, which that led from his heart attack, me having conversations and realizing off of that, that this actually affected many of our military and our military spouses. And it's something that we don't talk about. It's a kind of silent killer for a reason, because we're not talking. We're not having the deep conversations. A lot of people are afraid that it's going to hurt their career. And so basically a couple of weeks later, I was in a doctor's appointment for my son, my oldest. And that conversation changed my world. Dr. Vivian Wurzel, she lost her husband, not from combat, but he had came home. They were in Camp Lejeune. He had a heart attack. And at this time, we didn't have the proper training. Not everybody CPR trained. We did not have defibrillators like we do now on the bases and all the areas. And it's hard to believe that, right? Because you think, no, we did not. And he unfortunately passed away. Camp Lejeune is in a rural area. EMTs could not get a base to be able to save him. That opened my eyes. And that conversation between my brother is my reason. And Lieutenant Colonel Wurzel is my why. I'm a heart advocate for our military. And so moving forward from that, I didn't know at that time that I was just doing a movement when I had events that were on the installation. And then we moved to DC area and I held events there. And then all of a sudden I found myself us being stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. I'm a Marine Corps spouse, not living in a Marine Corps anymore. Yeah. And if anyone's ever been to MacDill, it really isn't the Air Force world either. It's Army.
It is Army. I was going to say, we're Army, and it's definitely an Army world there. Army.
So now I had to learn different lingo, different jargon, right? A whole different atmosphere. And no, Holly's not getting invited to a coalition meeting. I am a Marine Corps spouse.
Right.
So I don't believe that you should ever give up your passion, your mission, or advocacy, but sometimes we might have to pivot a little bit in order to still fulfill the things that sets our soul on fire. And
that's a really interesting way to put it, you know, having to pivot, because sometimes we are so laser focused on the things. And then we sometimes in the pivot, you can actually the direction takes you where you need to go.
Exactly. It can happen. I don't look at it as a bad thing. I mean, you don't need to stay on a course and make yourself feel like you're not being perfect, because we're imperfect people. Right. Sometimes you have to pivot in order to accomplish those missions and goals that you want to go to feel that perfectionist, that you've done what you needed and how you, if you call that success, because that success is a word that can have so many meanings and means so much to different people, right? And sure. So for me, it was continuing bringing awareness, and I had to pivot. I had to figure out how was I going to still bring awareness, and now I need to look at and maybe do it in a different way. At the same time, I started working in an office down in Tampa, and I was doing all the philanthropic stuff for this office. But one of my coworkers, Liz, her daughter, she gave birth to a baby who had heart issue, and would need a transplant in the future. But she was under a new study where they put the defibrillator inside and company, and so that changed me, because I was always focused on what military spouses,
right.
And so I wasn't thinking of our children. And so pivoting allowed me to open up a whole new world of seeing that there was a need of something else that wasn't being met. We weren't talking about this.
And your organization has added that too, right?
Exactly. In honor of Nova. So at All Full Circle came, I reached out to the American Heart Association. I did not know at that time that I was being cast in their Go Red. I just knew that I wanted to bring this awareness because having a nonprofit is not easy. Anyone who says it is, I want your secret. Give me your secret sauce because it is eat, breathe, sleep it. You know, until you get to a point, you're the financial person. You're everything.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to bring awareness to an organization that's already stable. Like, you already have this. Can we have a portion in there that would now focus on our military? And let's run with that, right? Because I'm a firm believer that if someone's doing something, go seek them and collaborate. Mm-hmm. You have to go create. And so that allowed a big old conversation. A lot of things turned. I reached out to headquarters, American Heart Association, in 2018. Mm-hmm. Had a nice conversation with them about things that I would love to see happen. And they did. They added a few things, but their mission and goal is still not what we need for our military, right? So they took some. And so that's why I always say, too, go into something, you know, give it your all. But if you get a little bit out of something, you accomplish something out of that meeting. Don't be upset and disappointed that they didn't do everything you wanted, right?
Right. And, well, yeah, exactly. And I think that all or nothing approach sometimes leads to people giving up and definitely not.
Don't do that. Look at it as a win. And what we won was that they added to their Go Red big event in New York City every year. Now, it's 2019, they've had a female veteran part of that. And the first person was Kelsey. Now she's Kelsey Gum is her married name. But at first it was Kelsey Danner. And so Kelsey, I got that so wrong. It was Danner, and that's Kelsey Danner Grant. Yep. So
got it. I was gonna say, you had it there.
Switching the last name. And she, I was able to write an article about her and bring awareness and this great friendship. And now we have something in honor of her. So all full circle with this. 2020, my husband was in UAE. And we found out that we were getting orders here. And this is all during smack dab during COVID, crazy happening. We were stationed again at Tampa. So it was dealing with a whole lot of factors. And we found out that we got orders to South Carolina. This is my home state. And I always said to my husband, if we ever get stationed there, I would create a nonprofit. For the fact that he went with me to that big meeting in Dallas with headquarters, American Red Cross. And when we left, he was like, and this is, you know, funny to some who will totally understand this. He looked at me, he's like, I always thought you just volunteered. No, he's like, I just really didn't realize all the things until you did this whole PowerPoint, because he was in the room and you did all this whole talk. And he's like, I was very taken back. He's like, you're right. We need to do this. And I'm like, look, if you create a nonprofit, that really, I'm eating and I'm sleeping and I'm breathing it. And you have to understand. And you have to, it's just like I have to understand your military career. For you to be successful, he's been in 28 years. That is a family, you know, commitment. It's not just you by yourself. The same thing with the nonprofit. Our family will have to, there'll be times where you have to sacrifice because I'm going to have to go do something or it's never going to go anywhere.
Right.
And so when he came back and we were moving here in South Carolina, he's the one who said, you got to start the nonprofit. Do it. It's time. We're in your home state. What better time? Right. And so that is where we officially made Military Heart Matters a nonprofit. And again, it's been around since 2012, but, and I would tell anyone, because I've got to tell my former self for this, I should have created the nonprofit from the very beginning. And I didn't believe in myself or my mission enough. And I should have. And the reason why I say that is there is such a process of where you can apply for grants or where you can be, you know, in a different circle, right, of being welcome into different pools of things. Mm-hmm. And I have been around for 2012, but people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And people assume that because I later on, which you'll talk about, that this created this and they're not even tied together, which is, you know, kind of ironic. Nothing's tied together within that title or within the nonprofit. And so creating nonprofit also allows us to be able to do more. It creates programs. So instead of having just an initiative and event planning to bring awareness, which that is part of a program, now we actually have programs that support.
Right. And I'm going to direct the listeners at this time, too. So you can see, there are so many programs and so many inspiring stories on your website. It's www.militaryheartsmatter.org. I agree. Like all the things you said, I'm just over here going, yes, sister. Because we're a nonprofit and we know we deal with all other nonprofits, and it's a hard business and you do have to believe in yourself. And I think too, hindsight's 2020. We can always look back and say, oh, I should have done this. But I think you followed your passion and your heart, no pun intended, and you took it to where it needed to go. So it's so impressive that you found that niche and you found that need and were able to bring awareness to.
Anyone is listening. And again, if someone's doing it, reach out to them and collaborate. If they're not doing it or they're not willing to collaborate, go ahead and jump, because there's nothing wrong with you leaping and setting there. I could have created it as a nonprofit, but still done what I was doing without being fully 100%. And I, in my mindset, and I think there's a lot of us that are this way, if I can't give 100%, then I can't do. And at this point, for this particular incident, I should have went ahead and said, it's okay, Holly, that you don't give 100%, but created it just for paperwork, for all the
right.
Nonprofits are not just for fun. They're actually a business. It's a business. Yeah. And that business aspect is nothing you fully understand until you immerse yourself in it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I should have just done this a long time ago.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you have no idea how much you're resonating with me right now. But I'm sure my command team will probably get a good laugh at what I just said whenever they listen to this, because we are in the throes of it as well. So let's shift gears a little bit, because you made a great point about how a lot of people connect your nonprofit with you winning in 2019 when you won the overall Military Spouse of the Year Award, which is a highly regarded award in our community. And so how has that affected you? And obviously your volunteerism probably increased, but how has it affected you?
Thank you. Well, I had an Army spouse who actually nominated me. So go Army.
Go Army. Hoorah.
Again, because you're in Tampa. And so when you say you go to a basis and you're like, oh man, why am I going there? Well, you just never know who you're going to meet. And that's the great thing. And where that's going to lead you into other places. And so I was nominated. I'm still floored today, because when you're in when you surround yourself, even with you know what I'm saying, today I'm talking to you, I'm in awe. Like, we are in such good company with so many amazing people that are military spouses, and the things that they do is just mind-blowing. And you step back and you think, wow, just, you're so awesome. And then when someone says that you're that way, it's hard for you to really comprehend that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed and thank you very much. And I got recognized and nominated because of being in Tampa. At that time, we had the hurricane, and we were helping with the Panama. And I got with the Buccaneers football team and a couple of companies, and we did massive shipments. We had a day at the stadium. A lot of people don't realize that our family got nominated as the Marine Corps spouse from the USO down in Tampa.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so our event of being recognized and all that was there at the Buccaneers Stadium. So I formed a mini relationship with some certain football players and things like that. So I was able to utilize those connections of what I was doing for my job. And with that, we did basically 4 semi trucks fully loaded with supplies that went down to Panama. And on top of that, we had other U-Haul trucks going down. And so I actually was nominated because of that, from this spouse that was an Army spouse. And I do believe in volunteering and giving back. And so it's the greatest honor to be recognized for that. As a volunteer, you don't get recognized, right? You don't expect to. No one is saying like, oh, I want to do this because I think I'm going to get recognized. So it's something that I'm not an author. I don't have a company. So I didn't win on those merits. I won because of or being recognized, because I really think they were all winners. So I was recognized a little bit more than other people being recognized because of what I did is volunteering and have given back all these years. I've been very blessed that I've gone to base to base and been able to immerse myself in different areas. And then along the way, you know, you get to meet a lot of great people. And so when people say, what did you get from that year? I got amazing photo shoot with my family. It was very hard for us to always have my husband in a place where we can have family pictures. And I think a lot of us can understand that. And some of you, if you don't, God, I'm so thankful for you that you get to do this, because we didn't. My husband's always been gone or deployed or TAD somewhere. I think y'all call it TDY. Like it's constantly gone.
You're good, Holly. You got it.
And acronyms from being in other bases is amazing. But when you're gone like that, trying to lock us all in to have a family portrait, and financially, pictures for good quality are pricey, right? So let's keep it honest and real. Like, there's a lot of factors to have beautiful pictures other than what you take from your phone or your personal camera. And so I'm so thankful. We had, there's a beautiful farm, and it was my friend who owns it, and they let us come out and take pictures there. The person that took the pictures, I did not know her before then. She was a Marine Corps spouse. And that was amazing. Like, it was beautiful. They were done on my birthday. Like, who gets to have pictures on their birthday? I did. Like, it was great. I got beautified on my birthday. Like, I felt like a princess for the day. And yeah. So, and then to actually, I did not plan I'm not saying that people plan to go in, but I think that some people do have like a set goal of what they want. I really did not think I was going to get it. Like, there is nothing in my body who says I'm going to be overall. When I was even announced as Marine Corps spouse, I was in the movie theater. Like, I wasn't even thinking like Marine Corps spouse, you know? So when we got, I should say when I was recognized for the base. And then when I got called for Marine Corps spouse, I was in Walmart on the actual liquor aisle. So there you go, people. I was buying wine at Walmart. So I was celebrating something. But I was one of the last ones called. So I was like, this is not going to happen. And it's okay. I'm going to get my wine, and my husband and I and my friends are going to celebrate. And I'm going to be very happy for the person that nominated me, and let it be. And then Lori Simmons called. And so I was jumping up and down the aisle at Walmart in Valrico, Florida.
And that's okay. If you're in that part of Florida, they're not going to be like looking at you funny for jumping.
No, they were jumping up and down with me. Like, what we celebrating? It's if I bought a different pipe of wine that other people didn't have before. And so when I was share it with me. And so it was very good and happy. But again, I didn't expect to be overall, but to get to go to New York with my husband and spend, even though it was one night, I mean, it was one night that we didn't have children with us. Like, how often does that happen?
It just exactly. Yeah.
Those were the things that, you know, everybody has their takeaway. And for me, we got to go to Dallas. My daughter has been dealing with some kidney issues. We're still dealing with it. But at that time, and us to be able to have that trip, and knowing that my husband was going to be leaving soon to go to the Middle East. I mean, he literally came back and went straight over. It was priceless. Like, we can't, my children still talk about that trip. And Lori and them all know that. I mean, AFI made that very clear that my photos, time in New York and going to Dallas with my family was amazing. Because when I went to Dallas, also a cool fact, when I went there, I made appointment for that, for the meeting, right, with American Heart Association. And I got tickets to go to New York for their fashion week. It was like, oh, so exciting. There you go. There's the coolness.
Oh my gosh, that is cool. No, I think all those things are cool. And I think they're all tied in together too. I mean, I think doors get open. And I love that it was an Army spouse that nominated you, because I feel like we don't know a lot about like our sister branches, you know, like I don't know, like all the Marine Corps lingo and, you know, and those type of things, but to see each other as people and as spouses that are just doing what you do. You volunteer, there's a need, you step up, you find a way. And that's kind of what we're all about. So I'm super happy that someone saw that in you. We're going to have to take a break because we got a couple things to pop in there. So I'm going to just pause real quick. And if you want to learn more about Holly's nonprofit, Military Hearts Matter, you can find him at www.militaryheartsmatter.org. We're going to take just about a few minutes. And then when we come back, we're going to hear about another amazing award Holly received. I'm so excited about this one. So stay tuned and you don't want to miss this.
Here at Mission Mill Spouse, military spouses are the priority. With nearly 3,000 blog posts and over 1,000 podcast episodes in our archives, we have the resources and support to empower your military spouse journey, no matter your stage, season, or duty station. To support our mission and other military spouses like you, follow us across all social media platforms at Mission Mill Spouse, subscribe to our newsletter, The SITREP, or consider making a tax-deductible donation. We are also all volunteer-powered, so you're invited to join our band of bloggers or our command team. Email hello@missionmillspouse.org for more information. Remember, we've been there. You aren't alone. We've got your six.
Welcome back, Mission Mill Spouse listeners. We're sitting down today with Holly Vega, founder of Military Hearts Matter. And Holly, we're going to jump right back in where we left off, talking about your awards, which I'm super excited and as a military spouse, happy to promote. And I read that you were named the 2022 South Carolina Mom of the Year. Now that's an accomplishment. And so can you tell us a little bit about how that title came to you and maybe about your kids? Because we're all wanting to hear about that.
Yeah, I think that that's been the most precious award. So my son Alex nominated me for the South Carolina Mother of the Year. And I was very taken back, and I actually wasn't accepting the nomination. And they had to like tell me who nominated me, because I'm like, I'm not accepting this. I've already like, when you go through like Missoula and you already win that, it's also very consuming, right? And you have to do certain things. And I'm like, I'm very grateful for this, but I don't want another award. I'm very happy, right? I never expected an award, and I'm happy with it. And I'm like, no. And then when I read what my son wrote, I was like, well, okay, well, I got to accept it, but I'm not going to get it, right? Because I mean, you're competing with other South Carolina mommies. And, you know, I love all states, but I'm sorry. I'm so.
That's okay. I love
my state. Good. So we have some great mommies, right? And then I was called and told that I actually won. And that was, there's a whole history behind this award. And my brain is like going on a blank. But Roosevelt's wife was part of this award. And so you can kind of look at the history. It's very longstanding. They've always had up until like probably 10 years ago, they would have actually the Mom of the Year be part of the Macy's Day Parade. And there is just, it's a really cool award. And you get to meet other moms from other states. And so what I say about the award is that when my child nominated me, how amazing is that?
That is amazing. It's incredible.
I recognized it. It was a very, very big honor. But the other cool factor is that as we are military spouses, and that's a title we carry too. It's a very special title, and it's a very elite group, you know, because we're 1%. Our military is 1%. So think about how small our little percentage is off that 1% of military spouses. And so we have this natural bond, right? But then when you're a mother, you have a different type of bond. And now you're with the whole civilian community. And you get to read their stories and meet people again, just like you do in the military. You're all from different states. You're all over the world. Well, the same thing with this award. But they're not military. And so we're not saying that not all of them, because some are. I'm not the only military spouse that's ever won. Actually, our reigning queen, as I call her, Lori, she is an Air Force veteran, and I nominated her, and she actually won the overall military spouse.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the website right now. I see that. That's great.
Lori won, and she's finishing up her reign. This month, they will announce a new overall Mom of the Year, and I was happy to nominate her, and so overjoyed that she won overall.
She's so great.
She's an amazing mom to everybody. She's like a mom to everybody. That's why I nominate her. Mom to everybody. But I would, again, like meeting other people that is outside of our small little bubble, right? We have this bubble that we feel comfortable in, and outside that's that civilian world. And I think once you get into the military, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 1 year or 30 years, we have a uniqueness. We have a culture. It's like a language of our own. But there's going to come a time where you got to go back into the civilian world, and we have to, you know, be immersed in that too. And so that was the cool part, is getting to meet other people from all over.
Well, that, and then just, you know, I love that, you know, your kids nominate you. And that's a story that as you get older and maybe when you're covered with grandchildren on your porch in South Carolina, that you will just, you know, be able to tell them. And I think that's really neat that you have that experience. So you mentioned civilian world. So let's talk retirement, Holly. Your Marine just recently retired. Is that correct?
Yes, he did. He retired on March 8th after 28 years in the Marine Corps.
Well, thank him for us. What an amazing career. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And what's so funny is that that was his birthday. So he celebrated turning 50 on top of retiring, on top of my husband, like I said, was prior enlisted. So this is where he went to boot camp. And the graduating class was actually the battalion that he graduated. And so they did a ceremony. We had multiple ceremonies, multiple events. I don't think that he has said to a lot of people, he couldn't have a better retirement because so many things happened. And then my birthday is just 1 week after his. And so he came home because, you know, being retired doesn't mean they're retired yet. They just had a ceremony. He's technically done until June. And there's a whole process. And that's a whole nother podcast for multiple podcasts of that process. But he came home and he's like, with the paperwork, he looked at me. He's like, you realize I have known you 27 years because I just turned 47. And I'm like, yes. I do realize that, but it just took him like his retirement, the birthday, doing the paperwork to turn around like, oh my gosh, we've known each other for a long time.
Well, that is a long time. And well, I mean, it's even career wise, that's a long time. My husband was prior enlisted as well. So when we retire, the number is going to be pretty big too. But I think too, that it's funny because you are now in the civilian world officially. So how does it feel like, or anything changes? I mean, you're going to stay there for a long period of time or.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to bore anybody, but no, the big thing is that I knew that he dropped his papers basically a year and a half ago, and it took, you know, some people get, you know, signed off very quickly and some don't. And my husband was not. They were trying to give us orders and keeping him in. And I think they know when it's time to go, even though it's hard to go. And yeah. Like I said, my husband knew he was going to be turning 50 and he wants to be able to start another career. Like he says, I'm not broken just yet, but I'm not the 20-year-old turning 21 at boot camp anymore either. And so, you know, recognizing that is a big leap. And then for us, so when he made that decision to even drop the papers to request to retire, I started to pull back. So everything that I was in leadership part of as a military spouse, like all the battalion stuff, right, or the unit, the squadrons, whatever, baking and all that, I stepped back. Not 100%, but I did basically 90. When we had our end of the year last year, last April, when you start having all those farewells, I announced that please don't nominate me for another position because I'm not a no person and I can't say yes. So if you nominate me, it's actually that would hurt because I'm a go-getter. I'm not a no. I'm always, how can I fix it? How can I help? And I need to focus on retirement. And so that's for me, the ceremony, I have already withdrawn myself and channeling in other ways, right? There's other ways that you can still give back, right. But being able to let other people come in those leadership positions and stepping yourself back. I'm always a believer that you can't just immerse yourself on base. You have to be able to do out in town because when they're not here, like most of the base don't have everything we need anyway. So just immerse yourself even more so you don't feel like you're missing out on something. And so, it's a little harder. Today they had the golfing for the spouses club. And we were asked yesterday in the front line, are y'all going to come? And I'm like, I'll give bottles of alcohol. Do you need alcohol to auction off? But no, because we have to start separating in order for that transition to happen.
Absolutely. But it is true. And I think when you go to each duty station and you do immerse yourself in the community, which I always do, because, you know, the soldier, the service member, they have like a ready-made network when they go from place to place. I mean, they have their office or whatever, they have their mm-hmm. unit. And like you have to kind of go into the community and carve out your own niche. And I think if you do that everywhere, retirement should seem pretty comfortable because you're going to do that finally forever somewhere, hopefully.
So like for me, it's not been such a hard transition. I think that anyone that you really do talk about, it is not an easy transition. It's not going to be easy for your serviceman or member, your soldier, your airman. It's just not. There are some that I think transition a lot better. And then you have Marines like my husband, who has just been, I mean, he still has breakfast with everybody and stuff. So he's not fully let go and he laughs about it. The biggest thing is I made a post the other day. I don't know if you saw it. He asked me, he's like, "Hey, you want me to go to dry cleaners with you?" And I'm sitting in my car with my window and I just roll the window up and shaking my head.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of him because he's smiling. I'm like, "No, I don't need you to go to dry cleaners with me. I don't need you to go to my medical appointments. I promise you, I've been doing that a long time without you."
That's an adjustment on their end, I believe, too. Like they think that we've just been waiting for them to be done so we can just do every little minutia thing together. And it's like, no.
It cannot be. And yes, you want to spend quality time, but you know, let's go get a massage then. I don't need to go to the grocery store. I need you to do this. Like, I can give you a list and you can go take care of these errands, and that would be amazing. So that is where that adjustment. And then also, like I said, you have a ceremony, but you're not completely retired yet. You know, like his last day is June 1st. I mean, and then he's fully completely done. Yesterday, he did get his DD-14 forms.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And so it's like what a lot of people, when you're going through this phase, biggest thing to understand is that if they have a lot of leave, they have to decide either they want to take the leave or they want to cash in the leave. But then they also have PTAB leave, and that's a whole different type of leave. So he officially started leave on terminal yesterday and got his ED forms, but he's had a month off. And so trying to figure out what he's wanting to do, what career you want to go, and where do we want to live? And sometimes it's easy because people already start that phase before they retire. They know that we want to retire there. We know we want to retire in South Carolina, but the big question is where in South Carolina? And, you know, the military has told us where to go.
Yeah.
And we've just gone, and we're both optimistic people who are just like, you know, we make happiness everywhere. And now we're both also, we're very analytical. And so we're like, oh my gosh, we got to make the decision and we're going to be there for a while. It ain't going to be just 2 to 3 years. Like,
well, I'm going to ask you now in front of everybody, because you just said you don't like to say no. But we're actually going to have a podcast panel where we're going to invite people, spouses who have just recently gone through retirement, and to talk about, you know, all the ins and outs and just the different things and stuff. So hopefully you'll agree to come on and give us some of your wisdom on that, because it sounds like you actually bring a lot of laughter to the table. For sure.
No, dude, that one's an easy one. I can say yes.
All right. Woohoo. So I've got two questions left. And the first one is, like, if you had to give any advice to our listeners who are military spouses, so you can tailor it to them, regarding how they can live their best life in the military realm. So if you had to just give them one piece of advice, what would you say?
To remember that we are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. So it's okay to embrace your imperfectness of this unique lifestyle and learn from those imperfections. So then we're civilians, right? Before we're carrying the military spouse title, I've already talked about that. And it's important to embrace the civilian community at each duty station. I don't think I could stress that enough. And you hit it on it too. Yeah. Please immerse yourself in your community, because really that's what you were before you came in. And that's what you know the best.
Absolutely. No. And I think that is great too, because I think it just encompasses everything, you know, too. When you fully engage in something, like you just said, back to your nonprofit, if you had gone 100%. So it's like, I think we just never regret going 100%. We just don't do it. So I think that's a good piece. Okay. So our final round is kind of what we call the lightning round. I don't really know how it got its name, but it's super fun for me. So basically, we ask you just some questions, you know, the either or questions. And of course, the first one's already making me laugh, because I hope you have a good answer. Army or Navy?
I can't say Air Force.
You can say Marine. We're okay with that.
I love the Army because of me. My dad was in the Army. Like, I have uncles in the Army. My grandfather was a Marine. But I will always have to say, at the end, Navy, because they in the Marine Corps, you know?
Yeah, I know. I forget that all the time, too. Okay, so going to a movie in a movie theater or Netflix on the couch?
I know it's lightning round. That one is a hard one. You're like asking these are the most trickiest questions, because movie theater is great for, you know, certain movies. Especially if you go with a bunch of girlfriends and you watch a chick flick. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Netflix, you know, romantic movie with my hubby. I love to sit on the couch, but my daughter, having a daughter is awesome. You know, you get to immerse yourself in a bunch of different shows. And then my watching Netflix with my boys, they, you know, you learn a lot. You learn a lot from your kids.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't answer that one or the other either, because I have different people I like to do different things with. Yeah. Okay, next one is sweet snacks or salty snacks?
Salty.
Ooh, okay. All right. So you're like chips and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I like pickles and like pickly, like the chips and stuff. I'm not a sweet eater. Thank goodness, because I'm not a curvy girl. I would be so in trouble. So
I'm a curvy girl too. I like them both.
Yeah, I'm not a sweet eater. I'm salty.
All right, last one is
actually say I'm a spicy girl, but you know,
you are a spicy girl. I would tell you.
A spicy one.
All right, last one I'm going to go to is you prefer the beach or the mountains?
Again, it's so hard. You know, there's a test out there that gives you all these like questions, and I always want to come back. I'm like a 50-50 on it. People, I'm like, I'm that unique one that comes out. I love the beach, but yeah. The mountains call to my soul when you're reading and needing tranquility.
So. Yeah, they're definitely a good combination. If I had to pick one place or the other, I'd take the beach too. I figured South Carolina, you probably grew up, you know, somewhere around a beach, right?
Mm-hmm. Nothing's better than going to Puerto Rico and sitting on a beach. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, thank you, Holly, for joining us today and for sharing your story and your philanthropy. We're all better people, I think I can say that, for having you in our world, our military world. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, we put in the show notes where you can get Holly's website. And if you need to contact her or would like to contact her, you can reach out through us and we will get you connected. This is Kathleen Palmer, Mission Mill Spouse Command Team, signing off.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mission Mill Spouse podcast. We hope you found inspiration and connection through the stories shared. Remember, your resilience as a military spouse is commendable, and you're not alone in this journey. We've got your six every step of the way. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes and feel free to reach out on social media to continue the conversation. Until next time, stay strong, stay connected, and keep supporting one another. This is Mission Mill Spouse signing off.